Today on Jay Sekulow Live, Attorney General Bill Barr tells Fox News that the cast of characters you know, familiar names in the FBI scandal, are under investigation by U.S. Attorney Durham.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I've publicly made clear that this does not involve looking at President Obama or Vice President Biden. I think the people that we're looking at are not at that level, and I think...
What names we would be familiar with?
Some of them.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
As I've also said, this isn't being driven by producing a report. We are trying to get to a point where we can hold accountable anyone who crossed the line and committed a criminal violation.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. So we told you yesterday that there was more from that interview with Attorney General Barr, and more there was. Think about this for a moment. Familiar names, the cast of characters you know. I think you could name them off the top of your head if you're a regular listener to this broadcast, are among those that the Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney John Durham is investigating, and Attorney General Barr has called the findings so far very troubling. Now, of course, he's careful about saying that there's criminal charges imminent because he, as he always reminds those outside the legal profession, the wheels of justice do turn slowly. There are rules of probable cause. There's a lot to go through. But I want to go right to Andy Economou, who is on both sides, been a prosecutor, a defense attorney. Andy, to me, this was the most telling statement yet by Attorney General Barr that the main actors that we talk about so often on this show are right in the crosshairs of U.S. Attorney Durham. And let's remind people, U.S. attorneys don't just, they're not inspector generals. They don't just look at if you violated department policy. They look, Andy, at whether you committed a crime.
That's right, Jordan. The purpose and function of the Office of the U.S. Attorney is to prosecute criminal offenses, to take the evidence before a grand jury, and to seek to establish before a grand jury probable cause to indict someone for the commission of a criminal offense. We don't issue reports. We don't give statements. We issue indictments through the function of the grand jury against people who have committed violations of federal law. So when Attorney General Barr says that we're moving slowly, it's true. The wheels of justice do grind slowly, but this is a way of protecting the innocent and calling the guilty to account. And I think that John Durham is doing an excellent job keeping it quiet, keeping it going forward, pressing forward. But the ultimate result here is going to be either an indictment or not an indictment. It's not going to be a statement like an inspector general does, and he is saying, here are the defects, here are the problems, here are the things that need correcting. No, it's going to be you're accountable criminally, and you could go to prison.
I want to play that sound, too, from Attorney General Barr. Will, we were just talking about it, because I want to get kind of Than's reaction to this, but I want to set the stage with this. Take a listen.
Here's the thing. For the first time in American history, police organizations and the national security organizations were used to spy on a campaign, and there was no basis for it. And the media largely drove that, and all kinds of sensational claims were being made about the president that could have affected the election. And then later on in his administration, there were actions taken that really appear to be efforts to sabotage his campaign. And that has to be looked at. And if people want to say that I'm political because I am looking at those potential abuses of power, so be it. But that's the job of the Attorney General.
Think about that, Than. Efforts by the previous administration to sabotage the campaign of Donald Trump. Strong words from Attorney General Barr.
Remarkable words from the Attorney General, Jordan. He is correct. He would not be doing his job if he would not be looking at this. I was heartened that he's not looking to arrive at a report, Jordan. He specifically said he's looking to hold people accountable. You talked about names. We'll get to this later. I've got a few names.
Folks, we're going to continue. We want to start taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Is this a bit more encouraging to you about U.S. Attorney Durham's investigation?
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Listen to me read these words. I know you heard the soundbite, but let me read them for you so it's a little bit slower and just you kind of fully comprehend what Attorney General Barr was telling Brett Baer. And here's the thing. This is Attorney General Barr. For the first time in American history, police organizations and the national security organizations were used to spy on a campaign, and there was no basis for it. And the media largely drove that, and all kinds of sensational claims were being made about the president that could have affected the election. And then later on, in his administration, there were actions taken that really appear to be efforts to sabotage his campaign. And that has to be looked at. And if the people want to say that I'm political because I'm looking at those potential abuses of power, so be it. But that's the job of the Attorney General. It is so great for the United States to have Attorney General Bill Barr. What an excellent decision to appoint him Attorney General by President Trump. He does not care about the media noise. He cares about getting to justice and truth. But I think I read through those statements, it kind of sends shivers down my spine. And he gets asked, you know, well, is this about Obama or Vice President Biden? And he wants to make clear that that's not where his focus is. His focus, though, is going to be on the names, you know. Take a listen, Byte 16.
I've publicly made clear that this does not involve looking at President Obama or Vice President Biden. I think the people that we're looking at are not at that level, and I think...
What names we would be familiar with?
Some of them.
Okay, Andy, right there. We already knew that about Obama and Biden, and that's a lot of that is because of the difficulty of going after, you know, post-time, Obama and Biden. Of course, Biden is... A VP is now a candidate for president. That would even look like more politicking, which is what we don't want to happen, like we saw by Jim Comey. But he says clearly this, that we're going to know these names. So for me, I mean, I can kind of make a list of some of these names. I'm looking, thinking about Peter Strzok. I'm thinking about Priestap, who altered the email, Andy. I'm thinking about Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, potentially Jim Comey, and probably many others that we've gone through on this broadcast. But that's also unprecedented for the Attorney General to tell the American people, you're going to be familiar with these names. You've heard these names a lot.
Yeah, Jordan, that's true. Usually the U.S. attorney or the attorney general who is his boss does not disclose the identities of anybody who might be involved in being indicted in a criminal investigation. But he sort of gave us a glimpse, but he did it very carefully, as Bill Barr is. He didn't disclose any names of anybody because ultimately the decision is that of the grand jury. It's up to the grand jury to decide who should be charged. But he tantalized us enough to know that it's people like those you mentioned, our good friend James Comey, who's so pious and self-righteous. Rod Rosenstein, I think, is a candidate. This is just my opinion. Sally Yates, who passed upon the affidavits for search warrant to the FISA court. Others like that who are in the higher echelons of government. This guy, Klein Smith, who failed to give a exculpatory information to the FISA court, people like that. I think there's a whole panoply of players that are going to be involved. And the Attorney General very prudently and correctly did not identify them by name, but said, you'll know most of them. Not surprising.
Than, I want your reaction, because we're starting to hear reaction, too, from Capitol Hill about these statements from Attorney General Barr. And I think that it's so important that people understand with these U.S. attorneys looking at. Let's play. This is Doug Collins, Congressman Collins from Georgia. Take a listen, Byte 18.
Durham, I'm looking forward to seeing what he comes out with, because I do believe people need to be held accountable, because if they're not held accountable, then what keeps future people who have a political agenda at DOJ or FBI from doing this to somebody else or to you or to me?
You know, that's the key, Than, is we saw it with the IRS, and we had to basically, as the Washington Post said, gut the IRS so that this wouldn't happen to Americans again, this political targeting. Same goes for the FBI and the intelligence community. They need to have serious enough consequences so that any other agents there who even think these evil thoughts of targeting people politically will face serious consequences. And not only that, will tarnish for a very long time the reputation of such an important agency.
Jordan, a huge reason these bureaucrats get away with abuse of power so frequently is because the American people does not become familiar with their names. And look, the Attorney General didn't issue any names. He was appropriate. Jordan, we have been one of the leading organizations in making sure that people were aware of the people who were involved and what they did. And Jordan, that putting a face with an action is why I think the Department of Justice is in a place where they actually can hold people accountable. I'll just say a couple of things quickly. I was so relieved to hear him specifically say, my aim is not driving toward a report. There may be a report, but my aim is to drive at holding people accountable. And you and Andy have mentioned a lot of names. And Jordan, I think you could go dozens and dozens deep, but I start with four names that I don't know how these individuals get away with it when you talk about direct evidence. It starts with James Comey, who bragged about intentionally leaking sensitive information for a political purpose and then bragged about abusing his power by sending a couple of agents around and skirting the White House counsel. I think about Peter Strzok, who put his political persuasion ahead of his sacred oath. I think about Andy McCabe, who carried out the instructions of Jim Comey as it was ordered. Remember, it was the insurance plan that was discussed in his office. And then I think probably open and shut. I think about Kevin Kleinschmidt. Andy mentioned him. Jordan, he falsified an email that was presented to the FISA court as evidence. How can any of those four individuals be in a comfortable place today? I don't think they should be. I think those are some of the names the Attorney General is talking about.
Folks, almost 10,000 of you are watching, 9,000 right now on Facebook alone, and thousands more on Periscope. Click share now. Bring more people into this conversation. It's not getting the kind of attention it deserves. There's so much going on in the world and in our country. I understand that. But we want to use our hour that we have with you on Jay Sekulow Live to update you on everything else that's going on. We've got ACLJ cases to update you on today. I just encourage you to share this broadcast with your friends and family. Hey, guys, do we have the bite from yesterday about the exculpatory evidence when in Mike Flynn? It was bite 5 yesterday. Let me know when we have that, because I do want to play that for folks, too. It kind of puts it all together, because this was the same interview Bill Barr gave. Fox News split it up. This is how he started the interview with Brett Baer. And take a listen now that you know what he's said additionally. Byte 5.
they seem to have ignored all the exculpatory evidence that was building up and continued pell-mell to push it forward. It's very hard to understand why they continued to push and even make public in testimony that they had an investigation going when it was becoming painfully obvious, or should have been obvious to anyone, that there was nothing there.
Painfully obvious, or obvious to anyone, that there was nothing there. Andy, again, now when I put this in line with what he said about the fact that, you know, there's going to be names that people know that are part of who the U.S. Attorney Durham is investigating, that these are names people, especially people that watch, like listen and watch our broadcast, know, and people who follow this closely, like on places like Fox News and One American News and conservative news outlets. But even some from the liberal world, these are names known, like Jim Comey. They're not so happy with him either. When you put those two together, what we heard yesterday from Bill Barr and now the full interview, what do you take away from it?
Well, I take away from it that some people are going to be facing prison sentences because of their conduct, and that the Attorney General is determined to get to the bottom of this criminally, because that's what he does, criminal prosecutions and using grand jury indictments to call people to account. And it seems to me that we finally have an Attorney General with the guts to get a U.S. attorney with the experience to ferret out the criminal actions that have been taken and to call those accountable who should be. That what I take away from it is that the American justice system does work if you've got good people in there. Because as he said, for the first time in American history, police organizations, that's the FBI, and national security organizations, that's the CIA, were used to spy on a campaign. That is not acceptable. That is criminal conduct. They lied to courts. That is contempt of court at least, and probably perjury at worst. And people are going to be held accountable for those before a jury and a judge. I am pleased that we've got William Barr as the Attorney General. That's what I take away from this.
Folks, I want to hear from you. I want to hear your thoughts on what Attorney General Barr has had to say, your comments, your questions for us. We got some phone lines open, some calls coming in now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. I want to be able to explain this for you. If we need to go deeper for you, or if we need to maybe take it up to 10,000 feet so you understand what we're getting at, give us a call. We're here to answer your questions and to hear your comments. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. And by the way, ACLJ hard at work. Go to ACLJ.org. We come back, we'll talk about some of that work.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Let me, again, set the stage for what Attorney General Barr said in the second part of his interview with Brett Baer on Fox News. And then I want to get into a little bit of ACLJ news, then start taking your calls about what Attorney General Barr said. So I just want to start off with what I think was the most important, which is this. Bite 8. It is shocking to hear this from the U.S. Attorney General of the United States. Bite number 8.
Here's the thing. For the first time in American history, police organizations and the national security organizations were used to spy on a campaign. And there was no basis for it. And the media largely drove that. And all kinds of sensational claims were being made about the president that could have affected the election. And then later on in his administration, there were actions taken that really appear to be efforts to sabotage his campaign. And that has to be looked at. And if people want to say that I'm political because I am looking at those potential abuses of power, so be it. But that's the job of the Attorney General.
It is just, it's shocking. I want to go to Andy and Than one more time on this, then we're going to start taking calls, and I want to do some of the ACLJ news too, because ACLJ has been hard at work. There's been a lot of other issues to cover in our one-hour broadcast affecting the nation, but I do want to get back to some of the work we're doing at the ACLJ, which there's plenty of it. Courts continue, and if you follow us at aclj.org on our website, you will know that that work continues. If you're on our email list, you know our work continues. If you follow us on social media, you know our work continues. But we try to use this hour for the most important issues, but we do want to give an ACLJ update. But I just want to get one more reaction to that comment, at least, from both Andy and then Than, just their own interpretation of what they just heard from Bill Barr. Andy first.
Well, my interpretation is that you've got an attorney general who's going to hold someone accountable. He's not going to recuse himself on some specious cause or reason. He is going to take his office seriously. And by that, he has done exactly what he is should do. He has appointed a United States attorney in Connecticut, John Durham, a career prosecutor, and he says, go in there and find out what went on with the spying on the Trump campaign, the attempt to sabotage that campaign, the misuse of power, the lying to a federal district judge who at the time was in the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, and look at those things and see if any of those actions that were taken, the sending of confidential memos out to newspapers, ultimately through your Comey's contacts with this Columbia professor, all those things. Is that obstruction of justice? Is it perjury? Is it contempt? Is it treason? Yes, I say the word because it could be. Tell us what those events might constitute in a criminal context, and do it in the proper fashion, and that is privately through the use of the secrecy of the grand jury and subpoenas. You haven't heard Durham give press conferences. You haven't heard Durham make statements because he's doing it the way a U.S. attorney does, quietly, methodically, and in the secrecy of the grand jury as the federal rules of criminal procedure require. I'm proud of him. I'm glad he's doing it. It makes me feel that we are vindicating our judicial system.
Than, your reaction, I mean, to a statement like this. You've been on Capitol Hill a long time, in Washington, D.C. a long time. We've seen a lot of bizarre things with Jim Comey, with McCabe, with what happened with the Clinton fiasco there. I remember broadcasting there. Coming, I think I was out of the office, came right back to the office when he said he was going to reopen it, and it was, you know, just right before the election, and this dossier, all of this stuff. Your reaction when you finally hear this from the Attorney General?
It's breathtaking, and quite frankly, Jordan, it's relieving. I mean, I guess I would give you maybe a high-level response and then maybe one that zoomed in a little bit. From a high-level perspective, I'm relieved that the Attorney General recognizes that it would be abdicating his duty to not look at this. And look, I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Independent. When the gears of government are used to abuse American citizens and violate their rights in this way, it is the duty of the federal law enforcement agencies to look into that and hold those accountable. I think that would be true no matter matter who the administration was, no matter who won the election. I was glad for the Attorney General to recognize that. And then zooming in just a little bit, Jordan, when the Attorney General transitioned from, you know, this could have affected the election to saying then later on in his administration, Jordan, I thought that was very key. People have heard me say this a number of times, but to me, that told me that he was looking at that transition when there was this decision inside the FBI to close down Crossfire Razor. And then the very next day, you had the meeting in the White House between President Obama, Vice President Biden, Jim Comey, Sally Yates, and Susan Rice. And just a couple of weeks later, Jordan, on January 24th, as the new administration was already in, so there you have the transition in what the Attorney General was talking about, James Comey, the director of the FBI, sent Peter Strzok and Joseph Pienka over to continue the interrogation of General Flynn, and they went around the White House counsel to do it. Jordan, to me, I know this is getting a little bit specific, but that was the Attorney General saying, we're looking at both of it. We're looking at the actions that were trying to influence the election, and then we're trying to look at the abuse of power that was trying to undermine the new administration after it had already been seated.
You know, Karen on Facebook wrote in, what happened to Judge Sullivan? Well, he'll be in court Friday, so in a couple days, the Court of Appeals being represented by counsel. But Attorney Joe Barr, he addressed this as well, by 12.
You mentioned the Flynn case. You're in the process of trying to dismiss that charge, the charges, yet the judge Sullivan, continues on and has now a shadow prosecutor making a case that it should continue.
The argument is that it's always been understood that decisions whether to pursue an individual through the prosecution process or holding them criminally accountable is vested in the executive branch and not the courts. And he is essentially, in our view, trying to set himself up as an alternative prosecutor.
An alternative prosecutor. I'll get one more reaction from Andy, and then we'll start taking phone calls. Andy, this idea that he wants to be an alternative prosecutor.
Well, that's exactly what he wants. He wants to be. He wants to be the U.S. attorney. And he wants to have counsel to help him. He wants an assistant U.S. attorney. So he gets John Gleason to be his law clerk, the former federal judge, and then he gets Wilkinson, the other lawyer, to be his assistant U.S. attorney. So we've got a federal district judge who is both a judge and he's a prosecutor, too, and he's got a couple of helpers, law clerks and lawyers, helping him prosecute Michael Flynn. And he has the audacity to claim that I can really make a true neutral judgment regarding whether or not Flynn's plea should be allowed to be vacated. That is nonsense. You have taken the position of U.S. attorney. You're a district judge. Which do you want to be? Which you can't be both. But he wants to be both, and I am really curious to see how the D.C. Circuit is going to unravel this Gordian knot.
That trial case begins on Friday. We'll be covering that. Let me remind you, too, just one of the ACLJ issues we're working on. The ACLJ filed an amicus brief last week defending conscience rights of healthcare workers. It's up at ACLJ.org. We filed a brief with the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit defending the Department of Health and Human Services new rule, quote, protecting statutory conscience rights in healthcare. And we've previously filed formal legal comments in support of the new rule. The date for the oral argument has not been set, but we will be filing briefs and following that closely as well. And we've got more ACLJ news to report as well when we come back. And we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Harry Hutchinson's also going to be joining us. 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, we're going to get right back to the news with Attorney General Barr, the Durham investigation, but I have to update you on some ACLJ work. Of course, that's the base of what we do at the American Center for Law and Justice. I briefly mentioned before we went into the break, so the ACLJ has filed an amicus brief last week defending conscience rights of healthcare workers. The ACLJ filed that brief with the Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. Here I am. This is the brief. I'm holding it in my hands. For those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, you can see it online at aclj.org. Significant brief there filed. What is this about? It is defending the Department of Health and Human Services, so a great move by the Trump administration. New rule, quote, protecting the statutory conscience rights in healthcare for healthcare workers and medical workers. We've previously filed formal legal comments in support of the new rule. Now it's being challenged in court. There's not yet a date for the oral argument, but the briefing has been filed. We'll be following it closely. Now here's the action item. Here's what you can do. We have a petition up online to stop forcing doctors and nurses to perform abortions. And here's the goal here. If this case were to make it, and cases like this often do, to the U.S. Supreme Court, right now we have 175,000 people on that petition at aclj.org. Again, it's stop forcing doctors and nurses to perform abortions. You'll find it right on the homepage at aclj.org. Maybe we can put the link in the Facebook chat and the Periscope chat. Here's our goal. We want to make sure we have at least over 200,000 people signed on to that petition if this case does, in fact, make its way to the Supreme Court. So let's make sure. I know there's 25,000 or more of you out there who can sign on to this petition and haven't done so already. So let me give you an action item today. Prepare for battle. Help us prepare for battle. We need at least 25,000 more people on that petition. It's already a huge petition. But we want to prepare, if this goes to the Supreme Court, to protect the conscience rights of medical professionals. We've done some great videos about this, about the horrendousness of nurses being forced to perform abortions, even though they've signed documents saying, I object under my conscience rights to performing these, and they're absolutely lied to. I've done What's Next videos about those. I've done web videos about those. And they get more and more outrageous the more that come to us. As we put those videos out, we hear from more medical professionals and more nurses. So help us get to 200,000. Stand with us in this fight for our medical professionals and conscience rights. Conscience rights are very important for people of faith, and they're very important to protect. And finally, the Trump administration, Than, put teeth to conscience rights. They weren't just a rule and a law that was out there. They now have teeth, and they're worth defending in court. They're worth asserting, and we can get to 200,000. That would send a big message to the Supreme Court if this case gets that far. It's already, as I said, made its way. Here's our brief to the Second Circuit Court of Appeals right here.
And let me just say a word, Jordan, about how important it really is for people to stand with this. This is an issue, as you know, that we've been working on for decades. I mean, one of the key amendments here, one of the key statutes, it's called the Church Amendment. It's been on the book for decades. But, Jordan, this administration, when they came in, they were the first administration that's been willing to put these enforcement tools behind the statutory language. It was a very controversial rule when they put it up, even though it shouldn't have been, because it tracked with the statute. Jordan, we called on ACLJ members to file comments in support of that rule. Very helpful in making sure that that rule went final. And now that it's being enforced and we have to go to court to defend the application of that rule, it's federal law, Jordan. It shouldn't be required that we have to defend it, but we do. We need ACLJ members to continue standing with us. This is one that predates the administration, but this phase of the fight, Jordan, it's only possible because we finally have a Department of Health and Human Services that is willing to put the rule in the action. Now we have to get their back.
You know, we also work with a lot of state legislators as well, and governors. We've got a great pro-life victory to announce there with state legislation that passed and was signed by the governor. We'll talk about that later in the broadcast today. Just more of that ACLJ work. I don't want you to forget that we're working hard at the ACLJ, but we're going to take your calls and questions on the Durham investigation, on Bill Barr, Attorney General Barr's comments. Harry Hutchinson will be joining us. Help us get to 200,000 that petition. You got a couple minutes here during the break. Sign the petition at aclj.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Let me encourage you. You got time today. It only takes less than a minute. Help us get to 200,000 on that petition to protect the conscience rights of healthcare professionals so they aren't forced to perform abortions. This is not just an idea. This is not just a petition for petition's sake. This is a federal court case that we filed in Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Here's the brief. The date for oral argument has not been set. Our goal is to make sure that we've got 175,000 plus people on the petition now, and that's huge. But we want to get to over 200,000, especially if this heads to the U.S. Supreme Court, and cases like this often do. So go to aclj.org. We've got an action item for you today. Doesn't cost you a thing, takes a very little bit of time, and you can make a difference here because for the first time, think about this, like Than said, for the first time, the Trump administration gave teeth to these conscience protections. They've been on the books, the Church Amendment. It's been on the books, the conscience protections, but it's had no teeth from the federal government, no enforcement mechanism. We put in the comments, now it does. Those were challenged, and we're fighting in court. Let's get to over 200,000. And that's not such a huge number to get to because we're already at over 175,000. Go to aclj.org, sign the petition today. Harry Hutchinson, attorney with the ACLJ, senior counsel, is joining us now. I want to get his reactions, then we're going to go right to your phone calls on some of what Bill Barr had to say in this interview with Brett Baer. Take a listen, bite number 9.
If you had to characterize the Durham report as you know it now, is it going to be eye-opening for Americans, or is this going to be kind of a blip on the road to?
I'm very troubled by what has been called to my attention so far, but I'm not going to characterize it beyond that.
Now, Harry, I get that he's not going to get into the details, but the fact, Harry, that he said he is very troubled by what he has seen so far, to me, when what he's talking about is seeing a U.S. attorney's criminal investigation. And if he's very troubled by what he's seen so far, he's talking about potential criminal acts. That's how I interpret it, Harry.
I think your analysis is spot on. Jordan, every single FISA warrant application against Carter Page as part of the Crossfire Hurricane investigation contained a parade of errors which defy any attempt to call this misconduct and innocent mistake. Anyone who makes such a claim, in my view, is simply a simpleton. Second, I hope that many of the actors who participated in this sham called Crossfire Hurricane are spending lots of time with two people, their lawyer and their tailor, who is prepared to make custom-made prison clothing so they can be stylish in prison.
Let's start taking some phone calls. People have been holding on. I appreciate that. We've had a lot to get to. We've got a little bit more to get to, too, on the ACLJ. We'll do that in the next segment. I want to take more calls. Let's go to Mike in Illinois. Mike, welcome to JSEC Hill Live. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate you fighting for justice and freedom in America here. Hey, the question I've got is the Senate is held by the Republicans, and obviously we're seeing the truth come out. What happens in November if the Senate changes hands? Does all this stuff get put in the back burner and burned up and become a sham like the impeachment did in the House of Representatives? Just looking for your take, and can this be fast-tracked somehow to get this out there before, you know, we hate to see this change place in November?
So, Than, I don't like making criminal investigations political, but we live in a political world in Washington, D.C. I absolutely expect this to come to a conclusion before there's a potential change in the guards, because people like Durham would probably no longer be in their position. So he's got an impetus to get his job done, too.
I agree with that, Jordan. I think there are two layers to this. I mean, look, I don't think a Senate Judiciary Committee that was under the leadership of Leader Schumer would probably be pursuing this investigation. That's why I think these depositions, these documents need to be obtained before then. The second layer, though, Jordan, goes to why I was so heartened to see the Attorney General make comments about how when this kind of political abuse happens, it's the duty of the Department of Justice to pursue it. Now, I'm not so naive to think that if the Department of Justice changed hands, that investigation would continue. But, Jordan, I think it's important for us to say it would be the duty of the Department of Justice, no matter who the new president or the new attorney general was, to pursue evidence that the Senate Judiciary Committee uncovers. But Jordan, I mean, look, let's be real. There are political realities, and personnel affect policy. So if you want to see the investigation continue, you probably need to trust the people who are pursuing it currently.
Let's go back to the phones. Nancy in Massachusetts online too. Nancy, welcome to JSEC Hill Live. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks again for all you do. I just wanted to comment. I've never called in before, but I was very encouraged by Attorney General Barr's interviews. And not having a law degree, I'm just so dependent on the communication that comes from you guys or from interviews like that, because like the whole rest of the country, we're all wondering, is there really going to be justice for these these people that perpetrated these crimes? And I just wanted to ask a question about the Senate hearings with Rod Rosenstein in relation to all of this. I watched a bit of it, and I have to say I agree with Senator Josh Hawley. I don't know if you have the clip, but I thought his line of questioning was so profound, and he basically said, I'm pretty sure that this committee...
Yeah, we played it a number of times, and he was excellent in that hearing. We've praised Senator Hawley. He's a great U.S. senator. He's a bulldog, if you will, in those questions. But go ahead, Nancy.
Well, just a question for you guys. Do you think that they're going to work a deal with Rod Rosenstein the way Senator Hawley implied, that they're going to find a way to find him not complicit in all of this?
You know, Harry, I think that there's all different kinds of complicitness. I mean, there is complicitness like you violated department policy, and then there's criminal wrongdoing. We don't yet know. From what Rod Rosenstein has said yet, now he's been accused of perjury by Andrew McCabe, Harry. But for the bigger picture, I think Nancy wants to know, is she kind of has this hope that we're actually going to see justice here. Do you feel more and more confident that we will when you hear these kind of statements from Bill Barr? I know it's still early, and I know he's still very careful in his words, and criminal prosecutions don't just come about out of nowhere.
Well, I think the questions are spot on. I think it's very, very important to note first and foremost that Rod Rosenstein may or may not have been an instigator. That's number one. Number two, we do have evidence, possibly direct evidence, of misconduct by actors such as Pienka, Peter Strzok, and other individuals. And malfeasance, I would argue, by Andrew McCabe and James Comey. So I think before Rod Rosenstein faces a criminal inquiry, more likely than not, some of those actors will face the music. And so I think the American people is wondering, when will criminal charges be forthcoming? And number two, they are also wondering, why didn't the Justice Department under former Attorney General Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, why didn't they press the Justice Department to uncover criminal misconduct previously? Misconduct that includes an improperly predicated spying campaign against a candidate for the United States. So I think there are many, many questions. And lastly, I would point out one question is, who was the original authority for the FBI's attempt to sabotage both the Trump campaign and the Trump presidency? That occurred, I would argue, well before President Trump took office.
This is a good one for you, Harry. Take you back to your law professor days. Mark in Texas, on line three. Mark, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks. I support you all financially, and I just
thank you so much.
If Barr brings charges before the grand jury, who makes up the grand jury, and can it be Democratic heavy?
So, Harry, I mean, typically a grand jury is comes from a cross section of people from a community or district and division of where this kind of the wrongdoing emanated from. But just to explain, because people probably are worried, like, hey, if this is all in Washington, D.C., and D.C. is primarily Democrat, how much tougher does that make it to get any indictments out of that grand jury? So are there ways to prevent that, Harry, when the judge helps go through that 23-person selection process?
I think so. I think it's important to note that the caller's question raises some of my concerns, but essentially the judge can attempt to ensure that the grand jury is made up of impartial individuals. And secondly, the Justice Department can consider seating the grand jury outside of Washington, D.C.
And I think Than brings up a good point. Listen, if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter from Washington, D.C., you have no love lost for Jim Comey and these guys who she blamed for her election loss, believe that or not. But he certainly interfered with her election, too. He interfered on both sides. So it's a good point, Than. We come back. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Another ACLJ victory to report and your calls. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
to say this, too. Today, and usually you'd be on the air and we'd be playing an embarrassing happy birthday song. He's not on the air today. But let me tell you, just because he's not on the air does not mean he's not working. In fact, he's probably talking to some of the more powerful people in the world, if you get my drift. It is my dad's birthday, so happy birthday, Dad. And if you want to express kind of, you know, happy birthday, I'm sure you know, you can do it through social media, his Facebook page, Twitter, places like that. It's also my parents' anniversary. Yes, they got married on my dad's birthday. So happy anniversary to my mom and dad, and happy birthday, Dad. And I just want you to know, while it may seem like, oh, he's taking a day off for his birthday and that seems nice, he's not. He's working hard. He's texting us while we're on the air. He's providing info. He's just not able to be on the broadcast today. I want to, but right before I go back to the calls, we're going to go to this law out of Oklahoma that Ben Sisney and Walter Weber really helped the Oklahoma legislature with State Senator David Bullard and the Governor Kevin Stitt still to ultimately sign this into law. It will be challenged, but it was a great victory. I will get to that in just a minute. Let me encourage you. I just want to take another call on Judge Sullivan because we've got Harry with us. Mary Ellen's calling from Illinois. Judge Sullivan will be in court on Friday, so in a couple days. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Oh, welcome, and happy anniversary and birthday to your dad. Question. Is this not Judge Sullivan trying to set up like you were talking earlier about an alternative prosecutor, but like a whole different or an additional justice system that doesn't really exist?
Well, I want to play the sound from Bill Barr. He mentioned he discussed exactly what you kind of keyed in on, Mary Ellen, about Judge Sullivan trying to become the prosecutor. Take a listen.
You mentioned the Flynn case. You're in the process of trying to dismiss that charge, the charges, yet the judge, Judge Sullivan, continues on and has now a shadow prosecutor and making a case that it should continue.
The argument is that it's always been understood that decisions whether to pursue an individual through the prosecution process or holding them criminally accountable is vested in the executive branch and not the courts. And he is essentially, in our view, trying to set himself up as an alternative prosecutor.
So, again, I want Harry Hutchinson to answer this question and kind of respond to what Bill Barr said, because this case, Harry, it'll be Friday in the Court of Appeals in D.C. As Mary Ellen said, it's like the judge is trying to create or operate with some new system of justice, doing away with the normal scope of our actual justice system.
I think you're absolutely right. So Judge Sullivan is attempting to act as judge, prosecutor, and the chairperson of the jury. He is an Article III judge. He is not a prosecutor. He is not part of the prosecutor's office. Essentially, what he is doing is that he is engaging in a backdoor effort to create a special prosecutor. And given Judge Sullivan's obvious bias, I am surprised in a way that he has not brought in Robert Mueller or Andrew Weissman, or for that matter, James Comey as his special investigator. I think his bias is apparent. This judge needs to be told by the D.C. Court of Appeals to simply drop the charges against General Flynn.
Harry Hutchinson, thank you for joining us, adding more of your legal insight and expertise to these questions. People have a lot of questions about this, and I hope through these broadcasts we're answering those questions. Let me shift gears a little bit in the final part of the show today, because the ACLJ has been hard at work. We talked about the court case at the Second Circuit Court of Appeals. Here's the brief we filed. You can check it out at aclj.org. Protecting the rights of conscience for medical professionals. Stan talked about how finally these conscience protections at the federal level have teeth because of the Trump administration. Thank the Trump administration. We're able to actually go to court and the law has teeth. So we've got about 175,000 people on that petition. We want to get it to 200,000 because this is the kind of case that could, it's not definite, but could get all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, because you never know how the Second Circuit is going to come down. So go to ACLJ.org. You've got the time. It takes a minute or less to sign the petition at ACLJ.org, standing for the conscience rights of those healthcare professionals so they are not forced to perform abortions. And remember, federal law is not only on their side, the federal law has teeth. Now, let me update you on something else. This is a big deal. And Than, this is always big. When we're able to work with state legislators and state legislatures and governors, we were working, and it was Ben Sisney and Walter Weber, senior legal members of the ACLJ. Walter, one of our most senior attorneys, working with Ben Sisney out of our Washington, D.C. office. Oklahoma has passed a bill that allows lawsuits against coercive abortionists. We have it up at ACLJ.org. What does this mean? The Oklahoma Senate, we helped draft this with members of the state Senate there in the legislature, with State Senator David Boulard leading the charge, Governor Stilt signing this into law. The Oklahoma Senate voted 37-9, Than, and the State House voted 76-18 in favor of Senate Bill 1728, the Unborn Person Wrongful Death Act, which allows for parents and grandparents to file lawsuits against abortionists who perform fraudulent or coerced abortions and seeks damages for mental pain and anguish, as well as monetary damages as a result of the wrongful death. This, again, the bill defines circumstances under which a wrongful death suit may be filed, including if a doctor performs an abortion on a minor without parental consent. We were acknowledged by the floor leader there, the House Majority Floor Leader, John Eccles, who said, without the support, listen to this, with his quote, without, he said this on the floor of Missouri State House, Oklahoma State House, quote, without the support of the ACLJ, this bill would not have become law. Their team, led by Ben Sisney, Walter Weber, worked diligently with both myself and other legislators to make sure we were able to pass this law to protect Oklahoma's unborn. Than, it's just another example of the kind of work we do, not just at the federal level, but at the state level, implementing the same kind of policies, the same kind of work we do, working with legislators, mostly with federal, but some of our team at the state level, to put in place good pro-life laws. And then, as we know, the legal battle will come. We're ready to defend them.
Jordan, so much of our most impactful work on this issue really does occur at the state level. And this bill is particularly important because we know as a matter of fact, Jordan, that Planned Parenthood and others in the abortion industry have a business model that assures anybody that walks through those doors pregnant, the vast majority get an abortion. The more than 330,000 abortions a year, Jordan, only about 5,000 carry to term. That is a business model that is rooted in coercive actions. This bill would allow for recourse for the family. It's very important. Glad our team was able to work on it. And Jordan, I'm with you. I am sure this is going to be defended, and it will be our honor to make sure that we defend this bill in court as it goes through the process.
Folks, we haven't done this often during the pandemic and during the various issues the country's been facing. But if you're financially able, this is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ. Just think about all the work. I just mentioned two different cases we're working on, one piece of legislation. Support the work of the ACLJ. Let me thank Oklahoma's governor, Governor Stitt. Let me thank State Senator Boulard as well.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.